Good morning again. We come to spiritual practice from where we are. And I know that you've all had a rich path so far, and you continue to look deeper. Something brings us to this search, and I think of it as something in our hearts which may know something. But the paradox is that before we know who we are truly, we have all kinds of ideas about it, most of which are a bit off. And it's in a way that we're blind to our deepest true nature by definition. Our learned ignorance, as it's said, things that we take ourselves to be become kind of a incrustation or shell or dress that we wear. And we wear it so long and so unconsciously that we see little else. So our ego mind comes to practice not seeing clearly. And it's not possible from there to see the way forward, or even if there is a way. So there's something really humbling about feeling this when we feel it deeply. But something does call us. Something feels something true. For myself, when I came to spiritual practice and before that, I could sense some kind of knowing that there was a place that was untainted by defensiveness, by self-protection, and in some ways it continues to be my true north. Something in your heart knows, and knows that it knows. So I feel a sense of gratitude and relief and a bit of a smile at the continued striving to be something else. And there's many layers of that striving, trying to make things happen in a certain way. When I came to practice, even though part of me knew about this inner place and sense of spacious being that is always there, I also had this inner striver, which thought that if it could just learn enough and know enough, work harder, that I could release myself from all these egoic burdens. So I smile at this part now, but it's not always easy to be with. And for me, especially at first, some of you have heard me say this before, but when I, my early retreats, when I would often fall into a place of self-loathing, which was relentless by the fourth or fifth day. And this driver would be in full voice telling me I was wasting my time and everybody else's in this room. And as I inquired over the years about this and started to understand more, that outer I don't know even know what to call it. I call it sometimes the kind of the outer shell, but it became less burdensome. Something else would arise, and the feeling would be more like the spaciousness and natural compassion that is also part of who we are. And now I feel pretty much a genuine compassion for this striver when it arises. And I smile at how impossible the task is. And also a lot of gratitude for the teachings and the teachers who patiently told me the same things over and over again until somehow it would penetrate these layers. I I remember so many times when I would hear something from a teacher and it would be, oh, I get it. And then the very next thought would be, oh, I've heard that 50 times. And it's a little humbling, and it's it gives us a sense of compassion. So that's just a little flavor of my outer garb, one component. And you all have your own version of this false self, this created self, this historical self. And your own flavor might be like mine, continually striving and trying. Or maybe your flavor is a little more fearful, not wanting to come out. Or maybe there's a continual discontentment. We all have, of course, all of these components in our false selves, and some are more prominent than others. And our practice has a certain elegance in that it begins for us right where we are. So the challenges that are presented in your practice are just for you. That's the beauty of our practice. And our emphasis is just being present with what's there. And that practice supports us in discovering what's important for us. Your own thread starts where you are. And as we look with openness and curiosity, it opens and we understand more. And something opens that also helps direct us. You can call it your inner guidance, or you can call it something from outside. Something in our practice aligns with that inner place in ourselves that knows that there is a place of spacious awareness that is us. So I want to end with a poem. Well, almost end. I want to almost end with a poem from Saint Teresa of Avila. Many of you know of her. She was a church leader in the reform movement of the 1600s. And she came from a wealthy family, but she taught a practice of return to simplicity and poverty, kind of along the lines of the Franciscans. So here's the poem. I had a natural passion for fine clothes, excellent food, and lively conversation about all matters that concern the heart still alive, and even a passion about my own looks. Vanities, they do not exist. Have you ever walked across a stream, stepping on rocks so not to spoil a pair of shoes? All we can touch, swallow, or say aids in our crossing to God and helps unveil the soul. Life smooths us, rounds, perfects, as does the river, the stone. And there is no place that our beloved is not flowing through, though the currents, force, you may not always like. Our passions help lift us. I loved what I could love until I held him, for then all things, every world, disappeared. One thing I like about that poem is that it supports the notion that whatever's in our life can be a trail back to God or our true nature, even our vanity, as she said. And it brings me to a place of deep compassion for that striver in me that wants to get somewhere and be something. And I'll end now with a quote from one of my favorite Buddhist teachers, Shunryu Suzuki. This is one of the things that he has said. Each of you is perfect the way you are, and you could use a little improvement. Thank you.